Welcome to the Swiss Info Podcast, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Welcome to our first ever podcast. I'm Dale Bechtel. This week was dominated by campaigning ahead of the upcoming parliamentary elections. The parties have been taking an American approach.
I don't see exactly how these parties, which are so aggressive during the electoral campaign, will then be able to govern together.
But before we get to that, let's take a look at the headlines. Speaking at the United Nations General Assembly in New York, the Swiss Environment Minister, Moritz Leuenberger, joined the chorus of leaders calling for action on climate change. Leuenberger repeated his proposal for a global CO2 tax. At home, MPs argued about whether schools should be forced to teach a national language, either German or French, as a second language before English. The House thinks so, but the Senate disagrees and wants to maintain the status quo and let the cantons decide. In business news, food giant Nestlé announced that the head of its operations in the Americas, Paul Bulcke, would take over next year as CEO, a decision that received a decidedly cool response from the stock market, with Nestlé's share price falling by more than 3.5% on the news. Current CEO Peter Brabeck will remain as chairman of the board. A team of scientists from Zurich University used cutting-edge technology to reveal that our earliest ancestors to migrate from Africa most likely walked and ran like modern man. The experts in computer-assisted reconstruction published their results in Nature magazine after examining ancient fossils from an archaeological site in the Caucasus. Now back to the elections. Let's hear now from Adam Beaumont, who's been finding out how the Swiss campaign has become Americanized. He spoke to Pascal Schiarini, a political scientist at Geneva University.
The campaign has been dominated by the right-wing Swiss People's Party amid speculation of a plot to overthrow its cabinet minister Christoph Blocher. But there's been little said about the actual policies, and that, according to Schiarini, is because of the attention focused on the outspoken politician.
There are very important issues in Switzerland, but the electoral campaign has turned into a very personalized campaign, and therefore there is not so much room for a discussion about substantial issues. And this is something very unusual in Switzerland, and it's the first time that the electoral campaign is so much focused on persons, on political leaders, and especially on the leader of the Swiss People's Party, Christoph Blocher.
Schiarini adds that a party which has often had difficulties presenting a strong image in the past, the Christian Democrats, has also turned to their photogenic cabinet minister, Doris Leuthard, to win votes.
We talk about the Americanization of electoral campaigns all over Europe, and Switzerland does not escape this trend. And Doris Leuthard is a woman. She's responsible for the economy, and she makes a good job. And the party, of course, tries to build on this and to attract new voters thanks to this person.
He says there is also a trend towards polarization.
I don't see exactly how these parties, which are so aggressive during the electoral campaign, will then be able to govern together. I really believe that there will be problems of governability in Switzerland in the near future.
Pascal Schiarini ending that report by Adam Beaumont. There were also plenty of stories which didn't make the headlines, but still managed to raise a few eyebrows. First up, a man was fined by police for traffic violations. Nothing unusual, you might say, except that the asylum seeker from China, obviously unaware of the rules of the Swiss road, was caught riding his bicycle down a motorway late at night. And if that was not bad and dangerous enough, the 37-year-old was penalized for failing to have an insurance sticker on his bike, as required by Swiss law. Perhaps he was in a hurry to get to what was billed as the region's first ever bicycle church service. The aim of the event was to encourage people to delight in creation while riding their bikes, as well as doing their humble bit to protect the climate. Vying for votes in the forthcoming parliamentary elections are the candidates from two relatively new parties, PIG and MP. There are two dozen PIGs not swine, on the former's list of candidates. Pig in this case stands for the Party for Gesundheit, or health in German. While there are many female pigs on the party's list, there are no women MPs. The MPs in this case are not members of parliament, but candidates for the men's party. Fed up with feminism and discrimination against men, the MP candidates want to defend male rights in the fatherland. Do real Swiss men prefer their coffee black? Or are they victims of the frothy trend towards a milky brew? How to make the perfect foamy head on a cappuccino or latte macchiato was the subject of a government-funded research project by the Agriculture Institute, Agroscope. The recommendation? Use pasteurized milk, don't overheat the liquid, and never use steam to do the frothing. Now it's time for Out and About, the segment of the program where we hear from Swiss Info journalists about their travels around the country. Thomas Stevens has joined me in the studio. Thomas, you've just returned from the eastern canton of Glarus, where you've had a look at what could soon be classified as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. What is this world wonder, and should we be impressed?
Well, I've been looking at the Glarus Overthrust, which is, it's not a local dance move. It's, in fact, a 40-kilometre long stretch of rock, which is a sort of shrine to geologists. And it greatly helped our understanding of the formation of the Alps.
Without getting too technical, what are we talking about here?
The thing about the Glarus Overthrust is that normally when mountains are formed, the younger rock layer is formed, comes on top of the older rock layer. In the Glarus Overthrust, it's the other way around. The older rock layer is found on top of the younger formation. And this created a headaches for geologists for the most part of the last century.
So what is the theory nowadays?
Well, the accepted theory now is that when two tectonic plates come together, one just completely rises up over the other one. Looking at the Glarus Overthrust, you can clearly see a lump of rock sticking out of the mountainside, and this so-called magic line of rock is clearly visible to tourists. And this magic line is what separates the two rock layers.
A magic line sounds very impressive, but you told me in advance of this podcast that there are many overthrusts in various mountain ranges in the world. What's special about this one?
Yeah, there are many overthrusts, and that is what I put to Professor Adrian Pfiffner, a professor of geology at Bern University.
The uniqueness is that the visibility is striking. Laymen can see it. It's really visually impressive. And the second is that as geologists, we can study parts of the thrust which were once at a depth of 15 or more kilometers in the Earth's crust and up to near the surface.
Professor Pfiffner also explained how the 250 million-year-old top layer glided over the 35 million-year-old bottom layer.
It has a lubricant, a layer along the thrust fault, which actually enabled the gliding. Because if you want to move one part of the Earth's crust on top of the other, you have to have a lubrifying layer so that you don't need to push that hard. This is unique that you see a myelinite which has been dragged out along such a long distance, as is the case in the Glarus thrust.
But let's be honest, the overthrust is nothing more than a crack in the mountain wall. Is it really going to become a must-see attraction?
Yeah, it's true that to most untrained eyes, such as mine, a rock's a rock, and a mountain's a very big rock. You really need to read up on the history and geology to get the most out of a visit. But education is one of the criteria considered by UNESCO, and so there will be plenty of information available. It's also important to remember that the Glarus Overthrust is being nominated as a natural heritage site, as opposed to a cultural heritage site, which are a lot more numerous and which generally have a greater wow factor. Having said that, even as a tourist, the landscape, as is the case all over the Alps, is stunning.
Thanks, Thomas. Thomas Stevens there. And thank you for listening to Swiss Info's first ever podcast. More details on some of the stories you've just heard, and more, can be found on our website, www.swissinfo.org. And that's also where you can give us your opinion on our new audio service. Thanks for listening. I'm Dale Bechtel.